Sister Soldier, please choose three words to describe your new novel, Midnight and the Meaning of Love.
Three words. The first word I would use to describe Midnight and the Meaning of Love is warm. I think that this story just radiates and resonates a lot of warmth. And from the very beginning, from the opening pages, you just feel a lot of warmth. And it goes from warm to hot to extreme, but it never goes cold. So I guess warm would be the first word. The second word would be intense, because in this story, because you're dealing with a young man and you're dealing with a young love, there's a lot of intensity. And because in Midnight and the Meaning of Love, Midnight's wife was taken away from him in the beginning of his marriage, it makes it even more intense. The feelings that he has and the way that he articulates them and the way that he conveys them. So this novel is warm, it's intense, and I guess the third word would be powerful. I believe that the story is powerful because it has so many layers to it. First of all, it starts off in Brooklyn, and because of the range of the different kind of characters, you're getting stories and stories within the stories. I tend to write stories that are multi-layered and multi-dimensional. And so the powerfulness, I would imagine, is in the layers in the storytelling and how each layer is stimulating the reader in a different way. And not just stimulating the mind, but stimulating your emotions and stirring your soul and also stimulating your visual imagery, because there's a lot of visual imagery and colorfulness in this novel as well. So those are the three words: warm, intense, powerful.
Your new book, Midnight and the Meaning of Love, the book cover is really strong and beautiful. Please talk about it.
Well, they say that you can't judge a book by its cover, but I think with Midnight and the Meaning of Love, you can judge this book by its cover. The young man, Midnight, on the cover, skin looks so beautiful and healthy and black and smooth, and I just think it's a beautiful, handsome image. And he's wearing the Brooklyn fitted, so that makes it more than beautiful. That makes it beautiful and sharp, you know, the new era joint that he has. I think most importantly about the book is that Midnight is standing against a brick wall, and normally on a wall in New York, you could see graffiti art, you know, painted and drawn by various young people that are expressing themselves in one way or another artistically. Well, on this book cover, the graffiti are actual words written in other languages. And so the first characters that you see, or the first letters that you see on the book cover, are Chinese, and then after the Chinese, there's Japanese, and then beside the Japanese, there's Hebrew, and below the Hebrew, there's Arabic, and below the Arabic, there's Korean, and after Korean, there's Hindi, and then the last set of letters are Thai. So what the cover is trying to convey is that this is an international novel, that this is a young man who is in Brooklyn, living in Brooklyn, but he's about to travel around the world, not just in terms of traveling a long distance, but traveling in his mind and traveling into other cultures and into other languages and having to be able to handle all of that. So I wanted the cover to be as warm and intense and powerful as the story itself. And I love the cover, and I'm really grateful for it.
So I understand that the research for this novel was extensive. In your acknowledgement, you thanked a lot of people. Please talk to us about the kind of research you did for the story.
Well, I went to Japan to conduct the research for the story. And interestingly enough, when I wrote Midnight Against the Love Story, I had not been to Japan yet. But then when I was preparing to write Midnight and the Meaning of Love, I decided to go there. And when I went there, I didn't want to go as a tourist. I wanted to go and just like I could just step inside of the ordinary life of a Japanese person or a young Japanese female living, you know, in her native land. And so I had an apartment in Tokyo, and I basically did the research in a very organic way, just by living there and seeing and interacting with people and going into people's apartments and houses and talking with them and their family, and my family, and laughing and learning and exchanging. And it was quite an adventure. I don't know if I could ever share everything that went on in the process of staying in Japan, but I do believe that in Midnight and the Meaning of Love, I shared a lot of the beauty of what I saw and the details of what I saw. And so the character Midnight really brings the reader with him to Japan. It's not like something he's imagining. He's there. He's in Tokyo. He's walking the streets. He's in the houses. He's in the apartments. He's meeting the people. And so I think when you're researching, you do have to go to the source. Otherwise, everything else is speculation. You could read a bunch of academic books or history books, which I do recommend. But it's not the same as going and feeling the pulse of the people and getting into the vibration and the style and just the way they're living on, you know, day to day. Also, while I was in Asia, I traveled also to Korea and to China, and I remained in those places for long periods of time. And I'd say I learned so much, it really was unbelievable. In New York, it's funny and it's sad at the same time. When we were young, we thought all Asian people were Chinese. And so anybody that we saw that had an Asian appearance, we say, Chinese. And even when I was young, when we used to go into the Korean grocery market, we didn't know it was Korean. And so we would buy the pomegranates from the grocery market, but we called it the Chinese apple. And we called it the Chinese apple because we thought we got it from the Chinese people. But it was really the Korean grocery market. So I learned while I was in Asia that knowledge is what really gives you respect. You know, it teaches you respect. And it's so much better when you know than when you don't know. So by living there in these various countries for 3 years almost, I just saw and learned and felt an amazing amount of things which I hoped to convey through the characters in the story. And so that was the kind of research that I did. And I guess I should add on that while traveling in Asia, of course, I still encountered a lot of African people because African people travel all around the world. So when I was in Japan, I still encountered people from India, people from Pakistan, people from the African countries, the North African countries, like Libya and the Sudan, and people from West African countries like Ghana and Ivory Coast, and people from East African countries like Kenya, and people from South African countries like South Africa. And so it was just an incredible journey. And I'm hoping that when you read Midnight and the Meaning of Love, you feel the depth of this journey through the character Midnight.
Speaking of characters, you have made your mark as an author who creates incredibly original and unique characters with great backstory and dialogue. Aside from Midnight, who would you say is your favorite male character in Midnight and the Meaning of Love? And who is your favorite female character? And why do the readers love your characters so much?
I guess I would try and answer your last question first. Why do the readers love my characters so much? If that's true, of course I'm grateful for that. I think that any reader that appreciates great storytelling loves the characters that they can feel. If they can feel the character, then I think that the author has done something successful. The great thing about writing is that if you can get a reader to recognize the humanity of someone other than themselves, if you can lift a character, or if you can lift the reader out of their own shoes and then place them into the shoes of the character and help them to feel what that character feels, then I think that that's successful writing. So for any writer, if you can create characters that people can feel, then you've done a good thing. I know that when I was on my last book tour, it was the last book signing that I had for the book. And it was the last customer. So everything about it was the last. And there was a woman, she came up with her book. She was the last customer. And I was really tired because I had signed a lot of books. And I said to her, okay, so you're my last customer. This is my last stop. So let me ask you a question instead of you asking me a question. And I said, who was your favorite character in the novel? And this woman said, well, first of all, she took a long pause. She paused for like 30 seconds. And then she put her head down as though she was in mourning or something. And then she said, Sister Soldier, I didn't want to love her. And I said, excuse me? She said, I didn't want to love her. In fact, when I first started reading the book, I really hated Akemi Nakamura. And she said, I don't know how you did it, but as I read along, slowly, I started to feel an emotion towards her. And at the end of the novel, I was angry at myself because I loved her. So here was an African-American woman who was lifted out of her own shoes and into the shoes of 16-year-old Japanese Akemi Nakamura. So she was able to feel what Akemi felt, and she learned compassion through the character. So I think that if my readers do actually love my characters, it's because of their ability to feel the characters. And I think that that's what an author should be looking to do. That's what I'm looking to do, and that's what I'm praying to do successfully. My favorite character in Midnight and the Meaning of Love, a female, I am going to say, well, I know what everyone wants me to say. They probably want me to say Bangs, because everybody loves Bangs. But I'm going to say it's Chiasa. And I'm going to leave it at that, because you all haven't met her yet, but you will. Just remember, Sister Soldier's favorite female character is Chiasa. As far as the men, a favorite male character, aside from the main character, who of course is my favorite, my favorite character of all times, I would have to say, I would have to say that it's Sensei, because I love and respect teachers, and I love and respect master teachers. I love people who love what they're teaching, and I love people who take the time to deliver the lessons that they're trying to teach very effectively in a plain language which their student can understand. I love that. And I love teachers who can live and be the example of what they're trying to convey to the student. And so I think in Midnight and the Meaning of Love, Sensei is a powerful male teacher to Midnight. And so I love his character. And I think that even though he's mild-mannered and soft-spoken, he offers Midnight the exact tools that he needs to more than survive, the exact tools to triumph. And in Midnight and the Meaning of Love, Sensei is very much Midnight's teacher, but he also is an extension of Midnight's very, very powerful father, Midnight's real father, Midnight's biological father. And so I love him for providing that kind of training to young men, a young man in our hood.
We always learn something after reading your novel. What do we learn in this one?
Well, hopefully you learn a lot of things, you know. I think every day offers each of us the opportunity to learn something. But probably the thing that stands out the strongest in my mind in this novel is just that you're going to learn some words in foreign languages. I think you're going to learn a little bit of Japanese, you know, like at least the greetings. I think it's great to just to be able to greet people in other languages. And, you know, these were the first things I learned when I was in Japan. You know, you wake up in the morning, you say, Ohayou gozaimasu. In the afternoon, you say, Konnichiwa. In the evening, you say, Konbanwa. Somebody gives you something, you say, arigato gozaimasu. You're going to learn some Japanese. You're going to learn some Korean. Annyeonghaseyo. Jiao chini shoshoyo. You know, these are greetings. And you're going to learn a few Arabic words. Something like thank you, shukran. Yes, num. A few Arabic words, a few Sudanese-specific words. You're going to learn some Hindi. Water is pani. The greeting is namaste or namaskar. So I say you're going to learn some language, and it's not going to be hard lessons. It should be something that feels good to you, because you're going to learn it as the character is learning it and as the character is encountering it. And I think you also start to see how big the small world is, that there are so many languages, and even within one country, there are languages which are within the language. And so that's one definite area where my readers are going to learn. And I'm hoping there are about 25 different areas of lessons learned, but not learned painfully or by force, but just very good feeling story that you're rolling with and growing with and evolving with.
Flipping through the pages of your new book, Midnight and the Meaning of Love, I see a lot of photography and some very attractive drawings. Tell us about the unusual art designs in your novel.
Akemi Nakamura is an artist. She's a 16-year-old artistic genius, her character. And so I thought it would be great to include some original artwork inside the novel, just so we can see, you know, how an artist that draws and paints can create beautiful imagery. And so while I was staying in Japan, I met an artist that I thought had some incredible artwork. And I basically sat with her and described certain characters, and really the whole process was from my mind to her mind. And in fact, it was pretty funny because she doesn't speak any English, and I don't speak beyond basic Japanese. And so we had a translator. So in order to create this beautiful artwork that you see in the book, we had to go through this process where I would describe in my mind what I thought the artwork should look like, or the characters should look like. And I was using, you know, my words and my images that were in my mind. And then the translator had to understand me first and then try to translate to the Japanese artist the images that I was trying to capture. And sometimes it was really funny because, you know, around the world, what different people think is beautiful is different. And they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So I might see something and describe it as beautiful, but then I had to break down the word beautiful. Well, what does beautiful mean? And what do beautiful lips look like when in your mind, soldier? And how can you make the translator, who is Japanese, understand so that she can convey the imagery to the artist, who is Japanese? And how can you, soldier, as an African born in America, explain to the Japanese translator and the Japanese artist how to draw pictures, sometimes of people from other places other than the places that the story takes place. So it was a great process, and in the process we became friends, and I enjoyed it a lot. And I think her artwork, I call her Rezi. Her name is Rezi. Her artwork is really beautiful to me. So I included it in the pages of Midnight and the Meaning of Love. Also, the photography was done at completely separate times from the drawings and the photographs that I use captured similarities to the characters that I was creating in my mind. So when you see, when you open up Midnight and the Meaning of Love, you see a photographic image for Uma. And the lady that you see there is actually from the Sudan, just like the character Uma is from the Sudan. And I think she's really incredibly beautiful. And you see her in her traditional Islamic wear covered. And you see her in her traditional Sudanese taupe cloths, which are colorful and beautiful, and she's still covered. And then you see also the imagery, the photography for Akemi Nakamura, for Chiasa, and also for Bangs. So I hope that you enjoy these pictures and these drawings and these photos, and know that these are not just drawings and photos of just anybody, that a whole lot of time and care and concern and translation work went into making the artwork and the photography happen.
Does a reader have to read first The Coldest Winter Ever and then Midnight, A Gangster Love Story to understand Midnight and the Meaning of Love?
No, each of my novels are standalone novels, which basically means that anyone can pick up any of the three novels that I've written and begin reading, and you will not be lost because you haven't read the other two. So there are people who have read The Coldest Winter Ever and not Midnight, A Gangster Love Story, although I, of course, think you should read all three. And there are people who have read Midnight, A Gangster Love Story, like my son. My son loves Midnight, A Gangster Love Story, but he hasn't read The Coldest Winter Ever. And now the Midnight and the Meaning of Love is a novel that anybody, any place in the world speaking any language can pick up and read and enjoy, whether they have ever read anything from Sister Souljah or not. They will understand the story. They will be filled in on everything, and hopefully they will feel it and enjoy it and definitely remember it and hold it in their hearts and hold it in their mind and hold it in their soul.
After you wrote The Coldest Winter Ever, it was so well read and loved that many people doubted you could write another novel that was as successful. Then you published Midnight, A Gangster Love Story, which became an instant success, debuting on the New York Times bestseller list at number 7. Do you think your new novel, Midnight and the Meaning of Love, will possibly top The Coldest Winter Ever, A Midnight, A Gangster Love Story?
Well, I never look at it that way. Only thing I can tell you is that I love Midnight and the Meaning of Love. And when I wrote the last word on the last page of my manuscript, I was still radiating from the story for weeks and months to come. And after I edited Midnight and the Meaning of Love, along with my editor, and after Midnight and the Meaning of Love was packaged into a book format, I still find myself reading Midnight and the Meaning of Love like a reader, like a fan. I'm a fan of the story. So last night, for instance, I was sitting in a restaurant reading the book. And I mean, I'm really reading it like a reader reads it. And so I don't know about any lists or the numbers, but I just know that my heart and my soul and everything is in Midnight and the Meaning of Love. And in general, when I was young, my mother told me, do everything that you do to the best of your ability. If you're going to put your name on it, make sure it's really good. It's really right. And it's really how you want it to be. And so what I can say about all four of my books and all three of my novels is every single one is something that I feel 100% strongly about. And so Midnight and the Meaning of Love is definitely no exception. I have a lot of love and feeling and lingering emotions and thoughts about this book.
Will we see any of the Santiagas from The Coldest Winter Ever in your new novel?
Of course. Maybe if you didn't, the readers would chase me down and, I don't know, tie me up with a rope, punish me, beat me, whip me. So you will encounter a taste of Santiago. But I'd say you just need to stick with Midnight, stick with Winter, stick with the series, and you will always get a full meal.
So you have introduced to your core audience, which I would say is the urban literature audience, a new set of international characters. You have African Americans, which is us, and then you have Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Sudanese, Kenyan, and Indian characters. Do you think your audience will accept these characters?
Oh, I certainly hope so, because we're living in a global society, and we're living in a world that's in motion. A lot of things going on everywhere in the world. And I think every group of people, no matter what your race or what language you're speaking or what culture you are, has got to adjust in 2011 and 2012 and 13 to the fact that you are not the only people here. We are not the only people here. They are not the only people here. There are so many different people, so many different cultures, so many different languages. And I think the smartest people, and I don't mean the people with the degrees, just the people who are smart about life and smart about living and loving, will be the ones who learn about others as they learn about themselves and grow from what's good about every group of people. And I think if you can merge what's excellent about African people and what's excellent about African American people with what's excellent about all of these other people from around the world, then you can become one incredible soul. And so hopefully people will accept these characters and read with patience and excitement as Midnight ventures into these foreign territories and takes you with him. I'm saying travel with him, fall in love with him, learn with him, and grow as an individual. I love Midnight, and I hope you will too.
Is Midnight and the Meaning of Love available on Kindle and iPad? Can your books be downloaded?
Yes. First of all, you can get The Coldest Winter Ever and Midnight Against a Love Story on iPad or Kindle or anywhere where it's possible to download books for sale. Midnight and the Meaning of Love, you will be able to get on Kindle and iPad in September 2011. And my reasoning for this is I really have a great love for books, the actual physical book in your hand, and a greater love for hardcover books. I think the hardcover books are collector's items. And whenever I love an author, no matter what author it is, I always buy their book in hardcover and keep it in my permanent library, so to speak. So if you love the beauty of this hardcover, Midnight and the Meaning of Love, I hope that you will think it's worth having the actual hardcover in your hand with the beautiful photography and the beautiful artwork and God willing, the beautiful storytelling. And so I wanted to give Rita 6 months to collect the hardcover of Midnight and the Meaning of Love, which publishes and is in stores wherever books are sold as of April the 12th. I wanted readers to invest in this book and to say that you definitely won't be sorry. And when I come to your city on the book tour, I will sign your hardbacks beautifully because I love each and every one of them. And so hopefully you will invest in the hardback, you know. Just look at it as something else that you spend some money on that you could replace by spending it on a book that you can have for a lifetime.
So you said you spent a lot of time in Japan. What about the huge earthquake and the tsunami that happened on March 11th in 2011 in Japan? Were you there when it happened?
No, actually I wasn't there during the earthquake and the tsunami. I woke up to it like many people on this side of the world woke up to the catastrophic event. I felt that earthquake in my heart, you know, because Japan for me was a place where I had an extreme amount of peace of mind, a very healthy place, not just for me, but for the people who lived there. And I experienced earthquakes while I was there staying in Japan. I'd say I experienced maybe 7 or 8 earthquakes. And they were mild earthquakes in comparison to the 9-point quake that hit on March 11th. And I don't know why, but while I was there, the earthquakes didn't frighten me so much as they amazed me. Just the idea of myself standing still while everything else is moving and watching it, or feeling buildings that were intentionally built in Japan to sustain an earthquake. So the buildings would actually sway back and forth, not because they were falling down, but because the architects had designed them to absorb the shock of the quake. So of course, this most recent catastrophic quake just exceeded everything that anyone could imagine and turned into a nightmare and a tragedy for many of the people of Japan and for many of my friends and many of their families and my whole family, myself and my husband and my son and some of my nieces. We were all very sad about the event and very concerned about our friends. And we contacted everyone immediately. We searched for everyone who we knew or had known while we were there immediately. And we even checked on our Korean friends who are actually right next door to Japan. Fortunately, we didn't lose any friends in the quake, but because of the radiation and the meltdown of the nuclear power plant, or the deterioration of it, I think it's not just a Japan problem, but it's a global problem, because of course, radiation travels through the air and through the water and through the soil. And so I was not there in Japan when this situation occurred, but my heart felt it and my soul felt it. And my son and I and my family, we did pack boxes of water and foods and rices and noodles and canned fish and beans and so on. and sent them out to our friends and the families that we know and love. But of course, we can all do something as individuals, but we can never do as much as our governments can do. And so hopefully, governments around the world will continue to consult with and assist the Japanese government to recover from this event, which, like I said, will affect everybody in the whole world because we are all connected.